Hello and welcome to a Tuesday, May 16th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Haris Kermani, and I've got my guy Ramiz as we are taking on the start of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Western Conference Finals, a rehash of the 2020 bubble. The final four are the exact same, which I'm not happy about because obviously Philly disappointed me to no end, starting from the last couple of minutes of Game 6 and leading into an absolute ass-whooping in Game 7. So, you know, as much as I would have liked Harden to continue, Embiid, Harden, both of them just did not have a good game. You know, it was going to be hard to win 3 games out of 4 in Boston, so they really had to close out in 6, and for them to not do that there, just left the door open, and Boston, with all their experience, absolutely took it. So they get to move on now and take on the Miami Heat, who have been absolutely impressive so far in the playoffs over there, and getting a resurgence of Kyle Lowry to be able to go ahead and support Jimmy Butler, and even Bam has finally started to get things going. So I think that could be a pretty interesting series. We're going to have to see what that actually means. As I said, the bubble rematch, Boston obviously wants, you know, a little bit more revenge. They got a little bit of it last year when they went to the conference finals against the same Miami Heat team. So it's a rematch that we're seeing on that side, while the Nuggets, taking out the Phoenix Suns in 6 games, come in against a supremely confident Lakers team, I guess you could say. They took out their biggest rivals in the Warriors in 6 games in pretty overall dominant fashion, I'd say. So, yeah, lots to look forward to over there. But, Ramiz, I know you're a bit down from the sickness, whatever is going on, but how up are you for these 2 matchups that are coming up now for the conference finals?
Honestly, with Lakers and Denver, I think it's going to be fire, heat, hopefully, as long as everyone remains healthy, especially AD, because he's always questionable, especially because of that concussion he had in recent games. But Miami-Boston, I'm a bit afraid that hopefully Miami can keep up with the three-point shooting that Boston's going to fire with, because it's insane, and it's especially without Tyler Harrell, you're missing, like, 20 points per game. So, I hope Jimmy Butler can do his thing like he did in the first round and maybe go back to that stage because he wasn't really trying against the Knicks. But other than that, I think this is going to be a really great conference finals.
Yeah, should be exciting. We'll see what that leads into. But as far as DFS itself is concerned, and we are getting a couple of interesting ways to be able to go ahead and tackle this. There's, of course, the one-game showdown that's going to be dealing with the Lakers-Denver game, which takes off tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, while we're also going to focus on the 2-game slate that's going to include not only that Lakers-Denver game, but also the first Miami-Boston game, which starts on Wednesday at 8:30. So, again, injury statuses, all of that stuff will get updated as each game gets closer to tip-off itself. But even in the 2-game slates, leave yourself a little bit of room to perhaps make those adjustments. Remember, those swaps are always in place for guys that are playing on that second night and see if something happens to work out. If someone is potentially questionable, maybe your guard, forward, and utility positions are the ones that you end up focusing a little bit more on the second half of the slate to give you a bit more, I won't say, versatility in the lineup that you want to be able to put out there. But we'll tackle both of them. And just before we do, as always, want to remind you guys, no matter how close we're getting to the end of the season, sportsethos.com is the place you want to go get yourself subscribed to that DFS pass, not only for all the amazing NBA content that's been ongoing, including the DFS deliveries that come out right before every slate as well, the ongoing access to our Discord where you can ask the pros, but even beyond NBA, if you're into MLB, if you're into soccer, other sports as well, there are so many amazing pros that we have that are absolutely killing it in a place that isn't often a little underserved as far as DFS is concerned. So definitely get yourself subscribed and get yourself the best content there. But let's jump right into the first game of the slate. We'll start with the showdown side of things, but as far as the Lakers and Denver game is concerned, we are looking at a 222 total for this one. You know, the Nuggets hosting the Lakers at home, being favored to win by 6, which, you know, seems kind of fair given, one, how well the Nuggets have been playing, especially at home, but also just how dominant they've been up against a couple of teams here. So, you know, an interesting matchup over here. It's ever hard to bet against LeBron, but as far as injuries themselves are concerned, even though technically Davis, LeBron, and Jamal Murray are listed questionable, I would just die if any of them actually not play. I would be supremely, supremely surprised if that happens. So we'll obviously keep an eye out closer to tip-off. And again, that's where that DFS pass comes into play. But man, it looks pretty good over here. So let's talk about the showdown slate itself, which is that one game one. Of course, being determined very heavily by who you decide to go with as your MVP for that 2x DK points night. And who, Ramiz, I'll start with you, thinking is going to be your MVP?
Well, of course, the captain, I got to go with Jokic. Like you mentioned, he's just going to, I mean, the 1.5 counter just changes how you basically pick, because of course, like in the two games that I'm eventually going to talk about, I went with a different approach, but 1.5, especially with Jokic impacting almost every metric of basketball, I think you've got to go with Jokic. In terms of his other players, once you go with Jokic, you kind of like got to go for those other role players. So I did end up still going for Jamal Murray at, I believe, 9,200. He's going to be great, I believe, especially at home games. He always ends up showing up. Mm-hmm. Especially just watching games, you can just tell he usually is a main guy. I feel like sometimes he even has the ball more than Jokic. And just that pick and roll that they're going to use on AD, like not like 10 out of 10 times during each game, like, you're going to see that play a lot more than usual. And then I also have Bruce Brown, 5,200. I think he's going to thrive in this environment. He's had an amazing series against the Suns, just doing exactly what it's needed of him, making cuts, hitting occasionally a corner three, and just getting you a few rebounds, a few assists, making hustle plays. So Bruce Brown's kind of a pick where you know he's going to play a bunch of minutes. You're able to get that value from him. And then I also got MPJ at 7,000. Of course, he does have a bit of a different game when he usually plays at home. But he had a great game five against the Phoenix Suns, and I'm hoping he can replicate that at a certain level. Of course, this is game one, so you really don't know what type of lineup you're going to see. So perhaps maybe if his three-point shot is hitting, you're going to definitely see a lot more minutes of him. But there is a scenario where he is exploited on defense against the 80, against the LeBron, and perhaps they just shove Bruce Brown at the three right away. So that is the risky pick, but he is a high upside pick as well. And then, of course, I got some Lakers in Lonnie Walker third and Dennis Schroeder at 4,600 and 4,200 for Lonnie Walker. And these are a couple of players who, Dennis Schroeder especially, I think he's going to be key in the series because he was a guy who was used a lot in that series. I think he ended up starting for them in the last few games because he was the main primary defender for Steph Curry because of the pick and rolls, the handoffs and stuff. And, of course, Jamal Murray doesn't replicate what Steph Curry does. But the main like pick and roll game is used a lot in Denver's offense. And I don't know if you want to use D'Angelo Russell in that rep because he might be switched on to a Jokic or so. I think when it comes down to Dennis Schroeder, he's going to get a lot more minutes in that sense because he can probably limit Jamal Murray's offensive game to a level, obviously, because Jamal Murray is great as an NBA offensive player. But and then also Lonnie Walker III, he's kind of a filler for me because like I said, game one, you don't know who's going to be able to hit their shots, especially in Denver. We know about the altitude and such. So I think Lonnie Walker at 4,200, hopefully he has a great game and provides a scoring spark off the bench.
I love it. I mean, lots of great points over there. As you said, it kind of starts with the MVP or the captain, whatever you want to put it, after the 1.5. It's just, I mean, there was a lot of combinations that I was looking at, but, you know, as much as I would love to be able to consistently shove in Jokic, which I will as my captain in a lot of positions, I actually do find myself, you know, getting lineups that I feel happier with in which Jamal Murray is my captain. It's one of those situations where, one, his price tag is pretty much perfect as far as the GPP side of things are concerned, because when I get him in, I'm able to fit in either a LeBron or an Anthony Davis to go alongside him, depending on how my lineups are working out. So even though the ones where Jamal is my captain, I may end up fading a Jokic, I'm just thinking of a perspective of, you know, overall DK points that go with it. Because as you mentioned, you know, Bruce Brown to me is absolutely a pick that I'm taking pretty much all the time for his 5,200. But it's that kind of, I want to say three out of the four that I'm really thinking between Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, MPJ, and Aaron Gordon. They're all very much in that same kind of price tag. And, you know, the ones that I always feel like from a GPP perspective always give you a little bit more upside. MPJ absolutely is at the front of that just because we've seen what he's done in the Phoenix series and in general, as this playoff has gone on, he's probably had in each series at least two games in which he's absolutely gone off, and then he'll have some of those more sedate games to go alongside it. So it's the risk that comes with it, but for his price tag, I think he has the greatest upside of the bunch, while I think the safest pick of the four is going to be Austin Reeves, who's just continued to be a guy that the Lakers rely on in so many different actions. And even if he's not necessarily racking up 20 points as he was in about it's a half that Golden State series, he's always on there to be able to get you kind of the rest of the ancillary stats to go with it. And he's playing anywhere between 30 to 39 minutes, depending on what's kind of needed from the team. So it's probably more of a cash play on that side, but it's just how it ends up working. So I'm right there with you on that. I'll probably end up finding myself going a little bit more heavy on the Denver side, just because I think the price tags are kind of working in my favor as far as that is concerned. And much of that is leading into when we talk about the two games late as well, where a lot of those price tags are pretty replicable from what we're seeing on the showdown slate. But the Denver ones actually have some even more kind of interesting prices where it gets a little bit cheaper, so you're able to go ahead and fit a couple more of those guys in. So definitely in play there, and we'll have to see how that ends up working out. But yeah, that captain is the most important, and I think if you're not going with Jokic, I'm probably not going to go with one of AD or LeBron, just because how, one, certain matchups work out, two, their price tags being pretty much at Jokic level. I'd rather just go up and take Jokic, who I think is definitely going to do better from a raw DK points perspective. And that's where you can kind of be contrarian taking Jamal Murray. So that's there. But let's talk about the same thing, but moving into the two-game slate side of things, right? So not necessarily about who you've obviously agreed with, but I'll just kind of talk from a higher level perspective. We talked about the price tags that are there. Anyone who kind of jumps out to you from a price tag differential standpoint, kind of looking at the Lakers-Denver, is there anyone else you may be specifically targeting on that side because they're cheaper, anything of that sort?
So in the two-game slate?
Yeah, that's right.
So in the two-game slate, I wouldn't go for Jokic at all. I would go for Jamal Murray at 7,900. Obviously, because at that price, I feel like it's kind of safe to go for him because like I said, the responsibility he's going to have. So it's just much more of an easier take. Of course, Bruce Brown, I think we both got, we don't really need to talk about because he's going to be able to replicate what he does, whether it's the single game showdown or the two game slate. Relatively similar price as well. And then, same thing for me in the Lakers was Dennis Schroeder. Obviously, I do have Austin Reeves here at 5,900.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bit more expensive compared to some other guards you're looking at, like in Miami and Denver side of things, if you're looking at that. But Austin Reeves, like you said, right, he has a lot more responsibility. He's been able to score. He's been able to get a few assists and rebounds. And he's also been a pretty solid defender, right? So he's kind of a whole package that they kind of need to play, especially because I don't think they have a lot of players who can really replicate what he does for the team, which is surprising to see because he is a second-year player, which is obviously I don't want to go into this Lakers bias and stuff, but Lakers fans are on point. He has been playing some pretty solid basketball, yeah. So shout-out to him. But I also have AD here at 10,200. Now, obviously, I was looking at Jokic and try to see, but the thing about Jokic is he's always the most expensive player in the slate, and I found a way to fit another high-end player with AD. So I like AD especially because there's no one who can guard Jokic, and if there is a player who's close to being at that level, it's probably been AD, right? And anybody in the league, because AD against Memphis, against Golden State, he's provided that defensive impact. And I just don't see, who is it, Rui Hachimura, Jared Vanderbilt, being able to come on and play that center role. So I think Darvin Ham is definitely going to have to play center at like 40 minutes minimum per game. And even then, it's going to be tough. But like I said, offense is what, pick and rolls, pick and pops. And without AD involved in that, it's going to be much of a struggle to really contain Jokic.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And you don't want to read too much into kind of the regular season when you're looking into this, but Jokic absolutely dominated this matchup kind of throughout that time regardless. So we'll have to see how much of that carries over into the series and what kind of adjustments the Lakers are able to make. But I do expect Jokic to be amazing in this series. And I know you mentioned that you'll be taking more of Jamal than Jokic, just kind of price tag-wise. I agree. But to me, the hedge factor of this is when we talk about the Miami-Boston games that are coming up, there's just so many of those guards that are in that kind of 5,000 range that I do really like to take in terms of how they've been playing and how important they're going to be to those respective teams. So I'm almost willing to spend a little bit more on the guys within this Denver LA series, which not only is going to be consistently the higher scoring one of the two, but is also going to have kind of the stars that are, I want to say, more of a focal point as far as the offense itself is concerned versus some of these Miami-Boston ones where, you know, they almost beat you a little bit by committee while you obviously have your star doing his thing, but they're not necessarily required to absolutely take over a game night in, night out. They have enough tools to be able to go ahead and get in that. So it's kind of my thought process going into this game. And, you know, talking about the Miami-Boston one, we'll jump into that, which not only is a 210.5 total, so definitely a more defensively minded series that we're going to get there, but Boston at home, favored to win by 8. So, you know, Vegas is thinking this is going to be a less close game than the first one. It's going to be a, you know, less high scoring game and series than what we're going to be seeing from there. So, you know, as far as Miami-Boston are concerned, who are you looking at here? You know, everyone's good to go as far as, you know, injuries are concerned outside of obviously the ones we've already talked about, the Tyler Hero, Oladipo, they're just gone. But the rest of the rotation has been pretty well set over here and, you know, should be a pretty interesting series. But who are you kind of targeting between these matchups?
This is going to be a really interesting series, probably one of those series where you're going to see a lot of, I guess, like a chess match, right? You're going to see one play made by one team and another. So I think the struggle with this slate has definitely been the fact these are both game ones, right? So we're kind of basically making that implementation that what we think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So from the Miami side of things, I'm not going for Jimmy Butler yet, because it is going to be interesting for him later on in the series. But I'm going to go for similar players in that like lower budget tier that I really like, which is, of course, Lowry at 5,300. You mentioned he's having a resurgence. Just been able to have a few like great games. Nothing too crazy, but like 11 points, 9 assists against the Knicks closeout game. And at 5,300, he's still in that price range. So you obviously, he's not as consistent as he was in past years. But if he has one of those games, you're exceedingly getting more than what you're paying for, which is incredible. And then I also got Caleb Martin at 4,000 because they usually start Kevin Love at the four, but I don't know how long he's going to survive against this Boston team who shoots a lot of threes. So maybe you might see a lot more Caleb Martin at 4,000 to guard Jason Tatum with Jimmy Butler, or just to play the four spot because you want to play a bit more quick and in transition because of how quick this Boston's offense is. And then lastly, I got one of those high upside picks, which is Duncan Robinson at 3,500. Just because in a game where there's like I don't know how it's gonna go, but I think Duncan Robinson at 3,500, if he can get against a couple threes in, Eric Spoelstra is definitely gonna play him a lot more minutes, and that's where like you just get his value. So of course there's a chance he's gonna have a bad game, and if he does, you're only losing at 3,500. And another reason why I'm not spending too high is because on the Boston side of things, I'm able to go for Tatum at 10,100. And the reason I'm going for this route, because I mentioned for going for AD and Tatum, because I feel like I can finish slate to get these two guys with the lower end guys of Miami and some lower end guys of the Lakers. But Tatum at 10,100, I'm going off this pick because of the momentum and just the difference he has when he plays on the in TD Garden. Not on the road. I was looking at the stats, and then whenever he plays at home, he averages around 29 to 30 points per game on like 45% from the field and 40% from three. And then when he's on the road, it's insanely worse, which is like 26 points per game, but 40% and at 30% from three. So just based off the fact he's home, he's coming off amazing back-to-back games. Actually, three games, because in game five, he did struggle a bit efficiently, but he had 36 points. And of course, with game seven, you know, the whole story of 51 points. So, obviously this is going to be a gritty game, but I think with the momentum that Boston have and the confidence they probably have, I think Tatum's going to have another great game. And then I also got Robert Williams at 3,700, who they started the past two games and he's been able to hit over 20 DK points, obviously game one. So perhaps he gets cut from that starting lineup to try something else, but the scenario he plays and he gets a few rebounds, a few points, I think you're going to get more than what you're paying for.
Yeah, no, I like that line of thinking, especially on the Robert Williams side, where I feel like they're going to want that mobile big to be able to be out there, especially to kind of hang with Bam as much as possible. And really, we know everything Robert Williams can do. His entire question was health, and he's clearly looking a lot healthier now than he was earlier on in the season. So for Boston, that's absolutely a huge, huge bonus for them. And I expect that he's going to continue to get those opportunities to be able to play regularly. So he's definitely one of my kind of more liked centers, especially from the price tag perspective and for all the upside that he offers. So I'll be there. And just going back to what I was talking about with that kind of 5,000 range as far as these guards are concerned, both Lowry and Marcus Smart are pretty much the not only the exact same type of player, but they're at the exact same price tag as well, pretty much, I mean, 53 to 5,400. And I think both of them are going to be guys that, just as Lowry has seen his minutes ramp up as the playoffs have gone on, Marcus Smart is pretty much stuck at anywhere between 39 to 42 minutes on a regular basis just because of how important he is to everything Boston does defensively. So regardless of whether his shot is going or not, which it clearly hasn't for say half the series as it was in Philly, while when it does go, all of a sudden that opens up so much upside because he ends up somewhere in the high 30s to low 40s. But his floor is just so safe for where he is, and his minutes have been more secure than someone like a Malcolm Brogdon, who I, you know, offensively and from a perspective, if he got the usage, definitely has the greater upside and is the far better offensive player. But his usage has taken a bit of a cut, and he's also very much playing as just like a pure scorer. He's not really getting the opportunity to be like a ball handler, get a lot of kind of offense going because they're running a lot more of that through Tatum when he's on the floor, or they actually will get Smart to initiate a good bit of that offense instead, and Brogdon is kind of the beneficiary of the handoff or whatever play gets run as a result. So he doesn't really get the ancillary stats that we've been looking to get consistently for him to be at a point where I feel as excited about his upside, even though 5,000 is not a bad price tag for him at all. But where I am interested to see and where I think Boston is actually going to start to go back a little bit more is Derek White, who we saw in the last series not get that kind of opportunity because Philly was a little bit bigger at the guard position and a little bit faster as well between Maxi, Harden, and even when they were running some of their backups out there in D'Anthony Melton and all, they were able to kind of neutralize a little bit of what makes Derek White kind of sneaky good. He's not necessarily the fastest around, but he's very defensively sound, and he can get you kind of blocks when you're not looking. He just is able to get in there. So I expect that in this being a slower paced series than what we had in the previous one there, we are going to get a little bit more of Derek White getting involved over here. And I do think his price tag at 4,700 is going to be sneaky good. So he's one who's very strongly on my radar, and I expect that I'll have a decent amount of exposure with him because I don't think he'll be all that owned given the fact that he obviously had a down series there. So looking forward to him having a comeback. While on the Miami side, I think you pretty much hit all the key guys that I was targeting on there from a value perspective. You spoke about Duncan Robinson, spoke about Kyle Lowry. I am interested to see how Gabe Vincent's minutes look because at 4,500, I like his price tag as well. We obviously have seen the offensive upside he has when he can get his shot going as well. And, I mean, he had three straight games for the first two games of New York and then the last game of Milwaukee where he had 12 three-point attempts back-to-back-to-back in all of those. And it kind of dropped off a little bit after that as Miami started to make a couple of adjustments and it became more of a grind-out series. But I do think that Gabe Vincent is going to continue to be probably the most important three-point shooter for them in that starting lineup, given how the rest of the lineup that they're going to be running at that point is a little bit more kind of paint-oriented, want to attack and slash the basket. He's going to be the beneficiary of that. So if he can get hot early, he's in a pretty good matchup here to be able to go ahead and take advantage of that. So 4,500 continues to be a good price tag there. And I'm going to be one who fades Jimmy, at least for now, see how it goes. And and if he kicks me in the nuts for the first game, I'm okay with it. I'll go ahead and figure it out because Jimmy is always going to do Jimmy things. I just think there's a lot more upside coming in with some of these other studs that we've talked about so far. But that does bring us to the end of the two games here. Obviously, we have the showdown. We have the two-game slate itself. Lots of ways to be able to continue targeting DFS leading into the tail end of what has been a pretty, pretty exciting playoff so far. And hopefully the end can be just the perfect climax we've been waiting for. Hopefully with Jokic winning, but that's a whole different thing. But leading right into the final thing of the night, which is our Thrive Fantasy, of course, the player props. These ones are focused on purely the Tuesday game, so the Denver and Lakers one. And I've got two that I'm interested in over here, but Ramiz, I'll let you get started with what you think is looking good to you as far as the Thrive Fantasy props are concerned.
So I got three. I'll go with one safe one first, which is Jamal Murray over 9.5 total rebounds and assists for 85 points. Hopefully he plays around 40 minutes. Ball handling duties, be able to cooperate, get some buckets to MPJ, to Bruce Brown, get some easy assists from Jokic. So I feel like that should be a safe pick.
Yeah, that's fair. I like that one as well. The first one that I'll go with is I feel relatively safe as well, just given the pace of the series, and that's LeBron just being over 25.5 points on this game over here. I expect that he's going to continue to be his more aggressive self, as he showed kind of in the second half of that Golden State series leading into the closeout game over there. You know, 25 is kind of the like middle point of where he's been for the vast majority of these playoffs, but I expect that this is going to be a more offensively minded series, and 25.5 points for him to go above that for 95. I feel pretty good about that.
The second pick I'm going to go with is Austin Reaves over 4.5 total rebounds for 110 points. Obviously, this is a much more different pick because Austin Reaves has a rebounding guard, but he is a pretty solid rebounder when it comes to it. So he's been able to get you 5-6 rebounds occasionally. And a game where hopefully Austin Reaves plays a huge amount of minutes as well. This is obviously it is a risky pick, but I think it is doable by Austin Reaves.
Yeah, I was looking at that too. I mean, 110 points is pretty juicy for him if he can kind of get some of those long rebounds. I expect threes are going to play a much bigger part in this series from both sides, because we saw obviously Golden State's going to do Golden State things, but I believe that the Lakers themselves are going to need to shoot a little bit more from the outside to balance out what we've been getting on the inside here. So, yeah, let's see what Austin Reaves does. But as far as the second one's concerned, I'm gonna go with the big guy. 105 points, 51.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Got to stay on brand on this. Obviously, it's going to require Jokic to have a big night, but not wanting to read overly into the regular season series, but considering what his splits were in that one, where he pretty much averaged a triple-double night in, night out against the Lakers, about 24 points, about 12 rebounds and 10 assists. It just gives him a very safe floor to be able to do that, and I expect that his assist total is going to be quite high in this series. There's going to be a lot of possessions here. I expect that we're going to get Jokic getting his own at which point, but someone's going to come to help out AD to put a little bit more pressure on Jokic, so I expect that he's going to be racking up quite a few of those assists to go alongside it, as long as the help can go ahead and hit those open shots that they'll get. So it's not necessarily the most smash pick. 51.5 is a big night required from Jokic, but I have faith that he has the capability to be able to do it and will do it starting from game one.
And my last pick is the same one as yours, which is over 51.5 total points, rebounds, and assists, 405. Okay. Like you mentioned, his floor is insane, so hopefully he can just play. Hopefully Mike Malone just plays him a lot of minutes and is able to get that quick, especially at a home game.
True. Absolutely. Well, let's see exactly what that plays out. Tomorrow, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, this tips off, and we get started with the Eastern Conference Finals. That does bring us to the end of this all. Talk to me about what you guys have been thinking as far as the playoffs are concerned. You can go ahead and catch me on Twitter at HOK_Devil. Definitely talk about how your DFS has gone, what you've been thinking about the matchups, and what the rest of these playoffs are going to look like. So keep an eye out for that. Where can the people find you, as always, Reese?
They can find me on Twitter at TooNice. That would be spelled TO0_Nice_.
All right. Well, we'll see if you're able to underscore a couple of victories over here, but let's see what these conference finals do look like. But until then, we'll catch you on the next one. Let's go out there and take down some of these conference final GPPs.